Hello and welcome to the Talking Theatre Podcast, the podcast for you if you love all things theatre. I'm Luke.
And I'm Tom.
And each episode we get together to chat to theatre professionals, emerging theatre artists and lovers of theatre in general.
Basically, our podcast aims to celebrate why theatre is so great with people that love theatre.
Exactly. And although this week will be slightly different, there will still be some of this.
Even though that things are starting to come back, theatres are opening up again, they're still going through a rough time, and having little moments of hope and kindness, little moments like that really do reinstate that there is a fantastic community on social media. You've just got to be careful where you look. You've got to be mindful of who you follow and who you interact with, but there are gems out there. There'll also be a bit of this.
Having some form of influence, you don't have to take everything as gospel and that's the only way to write this. It's because it's art. There isn't a right answer to art, but there can be certain things to help an artist put themselves on what they believe to be the right path to what they believe to be the correct art for them, and even this.
But the one thing that has really sort of resonated with me is there is still such a sense of hope and determination and drive just from all the artists and creatives that we've spoken to, that things will bounce back, they will jump up and they will become better and stronger and grander and more interesting, and everything will be not in vain. So thank you for tuning into this episode of the Talking Theatre Podcast. Let's get on with the show.
Hi mate, how are things?
Hi Luke, yeah, not bad. Still plodding along, getting on with the same old usual life. But yeah, no, I'm doing well, you know. How are things with you?
Not too bad, I don't think. Not too bad. Things are starting to move now. I've started some business projects. As people know, I've launched a couple of weeks ago and got a few things in the diary for, well, a couple of weeks' time. So
that's very exciting.
Pre-production for a couple of those at the moment, which is exciting.
Nervous?
Slightly scary, slightly nervous, of course. But then I guess, you know, people that sat at home that are theatre makers, you know, will know that feeling when you start a new project. It doesn't matter whether it's something that's being filmed, whether it's a video, or whether it's even a podcast, or whether it's a play, or whatever. Mm. You know, that pre-production period is so crucial, but, you know, it is slightly nervy, and because, you know, you're stepping into the unknown, because you have an idea of what you're going to make, but in this stage of your creation process, you don't know what that's going to look like.
But yeah, I mean, this is the end of series two, isn't it?
It is indeed.
It's been a great journey, this series. And I think this episode today is just more sort of a recap, a catch up, and just discussion about what's happened and what's going to come in the future. So let's head into it.
So then, let's kick things off this week, as Tom said, which is a little bit different, with some theatre news. This is something we sometimes do in our catch-up at the start, but this week there's something quite exciting, actually, that has happened, especially for people like you, Tom, in the playwriting sphere. So that don't know, do you want to go into a little bit more about what exciting thing has happened in the past week, or, well, past few days as we record this?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a weird thing that we've sort of gone through the entirety of the podcast series, both series one and this one as well. We've said a lot and a lot and a lot that social media has become such a massive presence for not just theatre, but film, TV and all these things. Just the arts in general, really. But we've always tried, I mean, we all are aware of social media and we know it's a very dark and dingy and horrible place full of people you don't want to talk to. However, there is such a good side to social media, and something that has been really sort of prevalent in the last couple of days, like, literally the last couple of days, I think, like,
yeah, literally,
the last week, maybe, who knows, but is an experienced playwright, Mr. Mark Ravenhill, basically just giving every bit of information that you can about playwriting and tips and tricks of the trade and sort of where to start, what to do when you're stuck, ideas to keep the ball rolling, all these things. And he's just tweeting them as this collective under the hashtag. Is it Mark Ravenhill 101?
I think something like that.
And he's just tweeting playwriting advice. And I saw this, and Luke did as well. Put it on the script before I even addressed it with you. It's just such a refreshing thing to see someone who's been in the industry for a while, who's had experience, skill, and critical acclaim, just going, you know what? I've got this free platform. I'm gonna share a little bit of information, whether they're helpful or not, and hopefully they'll hit the right audience. And it's got such big traction that he's made the hashtag for it. He's just going to keep going and going and going. You've seen various other artistic directors of theatres or other playwrights or various levels of other emerging playwrights or very established playwrights all sharing this stuff. And I just wanted to, A, give that a shout out. So if you're listening to this and you are a playwright or even someone who just admires playwriting and doesn't know how to start or anything like that, check it out. And I just think it's a really inspiring thing to see. Even though that things are starting to come back, theatres are opening up again, they're still going through a rough time, and having little moments of hope and kindness, little moments like that really do reinstate that there is a fantastic community on social media. You've just got to be careful where you look. You've got to be mindful of who you follow and who you interact with, but there are gems out there. And I just think this goes to reinforce everything we've been saying in the past, like social media is a really great place. And yeah, it's just something I wanted to bring up, really. I mean, I've literally just monologued for a decent amount of time, but yeah, I think it's something anyone who listens to this podcast definitely should hit up, check it out. They're very simple and short. I mean, they're in one tweet. He's not releasing threads. It is literally just a single tweet, and everyone I've read so far has just been very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, when it started a few days ago, I was kind of like, oh, this is, you know, it could be quite interesting. And as you say, it's just grown more and more and more traction. And I think what is really nice to see is the reaction of the wider industry, as you say, more broadly, because when we're dealing with social media, we all know, especially on Twitter in particular, because, you know, Twitter is essentially the best and worst of humanity
on one platform.
So when you do see these nice things coming out, it's, you know, like, you kind of breathe a little bit easier. But yeah, something I want to
refreshing.
It is very refreshing, but something I just wanted to kind of, you know, put out the question. I've seen this in a few people's response to this, is what is the role of a creative writing course now, or a playwriting course, when you have things like this being put out for free? Because do you think, as I do, that other playwrights will also start sharing their tips because they've seen how successful and how useful actually this has become, that people will kind of, you know, start going, well, if I can learn things on Twitter about how to write a play, then what is the role of the institutions actually in this?
That's quite an interesting, I hadn't even considered that perspective, but I think it's the role of institutions such as sort of universities or colleges or specific, like maybe drama schools and so on, things like that, is to provide a space which gives you the more advanced form of learning. But when it comes to things like creative writing and playwriting and poetry, this might be a really naive vision of me, but I really like the concept that, go back to Ratatouille, that anyone can cook, you know, anyone can write. Like, you're just going to put pen to paper
You've just got to do it. And if this actually helps people put pen to paper or fingers to keyboards for the first time, then yes, it might still mean that, you know, people still want to do playwriting courses, of course. But if it's that first step to actually write something, even to kind of show that they can do it, then that's surely beneficial for everybody.
I agree. I think these courses, given that most of them are quite expensive and in certain areas necessarily have a lot more higher cost of living, it's quite specific about who they get into them.
Of course.
And if we can encourage as many people via Twitter or free blogs or YouTube videos on how to write a play or write a poem or a book or whatever, if we can get as many people writing just because they think they can, and they've got a place to, and they've got a spark of inspiration because someone said something about a structure that like struck a chord with them or something like that, it really does open up the world to a lot more exciting stories from places that necessarily haven't been told before. And while I think, yeah, there is value in a playwriting course, I can't deny that, or else they wouldn't still be a thing.
Yeah.
I think A, they shouldn't be as much money, because it's teaching someone to write isn't really a thing. You can teach them structure and so on, but you could learn that from just reading plays yourself, which again incurs its own little cost because you've got to pay for the books or go to watch the plays and so on. But whatever there is cost. But if we can get a free platform and do what Mark's doing and Mark Ravenhill's doing, and engaging either new or established people in the industry to do it, I cannot see a negative to this.
Yes.
And if anything, it will encourage playwriting courses to offer more breadth, more variety, more opportunity, and will ultimately just make everything better. Either that or they won't change at all, but either way, the tweets are still out there and the lessons are still there. So I think it's an incredible step in the right direction, especially if other artists and creatives take up the idea themselves and do their own things. Because even though, like I said, there's so many different types of writers, so many people who are writing, like, you just gotta let everyone do it. And just because Mark's saying one thing doesn't necessarily mean that's the right way to do it. And a lot of people might see that as the right way to do it. But if another playwright says the complete opposite, but you engage with their writing better, or you enjoy their plays more, or whatever, it will open up doors for another collection of writers, and so on and so forth. And it's a right step in the right direction.
As you said, like, although, you know, you might have already written a few things or had a few years established in the industry as a playwright yourself, you might have done a few or had a few fringe productions produced, and we'll come back to that a bit later, of course. But it's all about knowing kind of things that you are influenced by. So just having the initial thing of having some form of influence, you don't have to take everything as gospel and that's the only way to write this. It's because it's art. There isn't a right answer to art, but there can be certain things to help an artist put themselves on what they believe to be the right path to what they believe to be the correct art for them.
And it's access. It's all about access.
Absolutely.
And some people can't find that because it's not accessible. And little things like this are a step in the right direction. I'm not saying that this collection of tweets is going to change the world and everyone's going to become the world's greatest playwright and it's going to be a huge wave of new writers. And so I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's a step in the right direction to stopping people thinking they can only write a play if they spend 12 grand on a playwriting course for a year, only to go on and do something different. Like, it's a step in the right direction.
So yeah, that was sort of, well, the highlight, I think, of this week's theatre news. And what this episode's allowed us to do is go into that specific thing a little bit, a little bit more, which hopefully you found enjoyable and found useful, I guess, as well. But kind of jumping forward on that, kind of something on a similar kind of line in terms of this idea of, you know, getting out and getting started. I think that for both of us, a lot of our highlights for this series has come from the ideas of basically how to get started in this industry. Because I think something we've realised, especially over this series in particular, is, you know, we want a lot of our audience to be young and emerging people or artists that are wanting to kind of potentially break through in the industry at some point. Or again, you might still be at school or college and you aren't quite sure if you want to take that next step to either going on a course to do a specific part of theatre or something, or, you know, whether you just think maybe I can do some of this in my spare time. But I think we've had a lot of guests that have hopefully inspired a lot of those feelings.
I hope so. I think specifically from this series, the change we had by putting a couple of the episodes as being Camden Fringe episodes and having less episode long guests and having a couple more sort of collective episodes, I think has really just basically demonstrated that nothing is the same for anyone, and every single routine is completely different. And it's something that we've always touched on, it's something that we've always explored, not necessarily in depth or something apart from the fact that we've spoken to all these people at different routes, but it's something that is really important to always remember when it comes to this sort of thing. Like, you and I are both starting out as well. I wouldn't say you and I are established in any respect in any industry, specifically not this one, but we're starting out and we are finding our own way through. And what we hope is that by listening to other people who have shows on, who have got a job they've always wanted to have, or have found a route to explore the industry in their own way, I hope I hope that's been in a help to some people to sort of listen to it and go, oh, there's other ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's about creating this community, and community is made up of lots of different people all helping each other. And that doesn't necessarily just mean me and Tom sat here now talking to you or talking with a guest to you. You know, there are things, and we'll come on to this in a few minutes, I guess, that we want to kind of do, so that make sure that you people at home that are listening to our podcast can get the best experience that possible. It isn't just us about making a show each week. It's about creating that community and that atmosphere outside of the show, which is really important to us. And that's why we've had people like Amy Hubbard on, who we know, you might not have known who she is, and some of you still might not really have too much of a clue who she is. But opening night jobs, we hope, is something that you will come to know of what it is. And that is another platform that is helping people outside of a certain area of expertise or a certain area of living or whatever your circumstances, to at least try to put in that first application to an artistic job of some sort. It's about showing what opportunities are out there and what chances there are to engage within the arts, either working within the arts or simply just being a part of it as an audience. And that's why I think that was also really important in terms of an episode and highlight for me. Are there any more highlights then for you, mate, of this series, or particular moments or guests that have said something that's kind of really stuck with you throughout the series, or you kind of came away from an interview with a guest and gone, oh, really thought of that like that, or
Well, I mean, the main thing that I also got it from the first series, because the situation hasn't really changed that much since we first started doing this podcast. But the one thing that has really sort of resonated with me is there is, within the industry, there is this ominous sort of feeling of something bad's coming because everything hasn't really been handled right, or I mean, I'm sure I don't need to go into any detail of the theatre world and how things have been handled during the pandemic, but there is still such a sense of hope and determination and drive just from all the artists and creatives that we've spoken to, that things will bounce back, they will jump up, and they will become better and stronger and grander and more interesting, and everything will be not in vain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the one biggest takeaway of actually showing that has kind of come from, you know, the success, I'm going to use that word, of this year's Camden Fringe in general, of our episodes that we produced and the guests that we've had on, in terms of the reviews and the sellouts, because a lot of them have had sellout shows.
Fantastic reviews, fantastic.
But I think that the actual sheer determination and the amount of work that is obviously going on as part of this year's Camden Fringe, as it, you know, gradually comes to an end as this podcast is released, is extremely hopeful. And there is obviously still a sense of people wanting to get out there and make work, even at some of the most barest and stripped back levels of work or professional work that can be created. And, you know, I just think back to some of those interviews and chats we had with some of the artists that was involved this year. You know, we spent hours, you know, genuinely we spent hours talking to these guests. I mean, we were a bit unfortunate that we could only put out, you know, 10 to 12 minutes per guest. So much stuff that was just recorded, but then all the chats we've had with the guests afterwards is unbelievable.
And the amount of sheer volume we received from loads and loads of other shows that unfortunately we just didn't have time to talk to. But we messaged them and spoke to them over social media and emails and so on. And there's just so much passion and drive there. And anyone who went through this pandemic and the lockdowns and the isolations and the, well, you all know what happens, like all these things, and come out the other side and go, well, I'm just going to go back to making art, but how can we do it? And just adapt. Let's do it. It's to be commended. Slightly biased, because obviously there's something we're both doing, but like it genuinely is a really nice thing to see Camden Fringe doing so well.
Absolutely it is. And I think we've kind of come to the part of the episode now, and we've kind of been alluding to it, where we're kind of just wanting to chat to you all about what our ideas are for the next series and beyond, and also some other avenues that we're hoping to open up. So we do want to make sure that half of our guests on our next series are young and emerging artists or companies, because we want to hear about your work. You know, as I just said then, when we had hours potentially of recorded footage from our Camden Fringe that we couldn't have the time to release in terms of the physical time of our episodes. So we've kind of learned that actually you guys and our audience really do enjoy those episodes, and we enjoy chatting to emerging artists. So just being able to give more time and a platform for those discussions to happen is something we are really eager to do.
Sure. For sure.
So if you've got to this point in the podcast, we think it's fair that you should get to know this essentially first, that we are going to be doing this, and to either come on the podcast or, you know, register an interest of coming on the podcast, you can either email us, or there is now a Google form actually live on our Linktree. And if you click on that, you can put in a little bit of information about you, the company, maybe some upcoming work that you've got coming up, where you've kind of worked for potentially, you know, some basic info, and then we'll get back to you. But that's not the only thing that we're hoping to do, though, is it, mate?
No, it is not the only thing. We also really sort of saw a great response to when we were showcasing other people's work and so on. People really enjoyed that. People enjoyed engaging with another emerging artists and emerging companies and so on. So we're going to be offering that if you want to have your show promoted or whatever you're doing, use the Google form, fill it in, or just send us an email, and we will have two slots each week on a Monday and a Friday to post your work, just to give it a bit of promotion. And it won't be paid. It'll be entirely free, just to give you a chance to just have a little bit of an extra boost. We're fully aware, again, we're not posting a publication on the front page of, I don't know, a massive newspaper or anything, or we're not on Google, but we are just trying to give whatever we can. And if you do want to promote anything, like I said, just drop us an email or fill in the form, DM us on Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just want to reiterate, it is completely free. We understand, as Tom's already said, we are young and emerging artists ourselves. We understand how difficult it is. We understand everything that goes in to creating a show. And we also understand that, especially if you haven't got Arts Council funding, marketing your show and finding money to do that is extremely difficult.
It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare, and it's a minefield to navigate. So any bit of free promotion we can give, just ask.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is something that we're going to start by just doing it during our downtime when we aren't releasing episodes, just to kind of, well, essentially trial it out to see if our initial reaction, like the Camden Fringe ones, is the same, and this is still getting that kind of traction, or hopefully even better traction than that. But we are confident that it will, as we keep on building this community. And then obviously when we're in series, we'll then discuss a little bit more about how we can continue doing that during that time.
Yeah, and hopefully during the next series we'll be talking to more emerging artists anyway about their projects, so
absolutely
we'll play it by ear and see how that goes as well.
Absolutely. And the other half of the series is something, you know, we are passionate about, in terms of choosing the right guests and choosing guests that we think that you want us to speak to. So please, again, if there are people that have either gone above and beyond, you think, during the past 18 months for young and emerging artists and companies, please let us know who they are, or let them know that you'd like us to kind of chat to them on the podcast. Or our other kind of, you know, core guest or guess we want to kind of attract are people that have had, you know, 5 to 15 years professional experience and are interested actually in giving a few tips and tricks that they've learnt or you've learnt, if you're also listening to this in that time, that you've been willing to share with our audience. You know, we still want to continue with a similar structure about learning about your experiences and, you know, what's your favourite theatre moment and all that. But, you know, we really want to also push that extra level of what advice do you have for young and emerging artists. And we also realise that that phrase, young and emerging artist, is a phrase that doesn't really have an age to it. It's just more the case of how long have you been in the industry, actually.
The best way to put it is, instead of young and emerging, it's young or emerging. Like, yes. Either when, because you can start theatre at any age. But honestly, anyone, just get in touch and just drop us a message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, that pretty much wraps things up for this series. And, well, just to kind of clarify, as we've reached the end of this series, mate, what are you up to for the next couple of months?
Well, we mentioned it briefly in another episode, but my play Blue Bottles is on in November, 4th to 7th of November 2021 at the Lion and Unicorn Theatre. It's being produced with my theatre company, Periphery Theatre. It's very exciting, raring to go. Rehearsals have now kicked off. We've got some live rehearsals coming up.
Brilliant.
Which I'm very, very excited for. And that's sort of the main focus of my attention.
Yes, which is quite big.
That's a big focus of attention. Yes. So yeah, I mean, if you want to come and watch Blue Bottles, or even just keep track of what Periphery are doing, just follow us on Twitter at Periphery Stage, or on Instagram at Periphery Theatre, and just yeah, give us a follow. We're currently announcing all the creative team, which is very exciting, and the production itself is well underway. So yeah, get your tickets, come on down and watch it. It'll be a great time, and I'll probably be in the bar afterwards for a drink. So what are you up to?
Again, I kind of mentioned it a little bit briefly in this episode and another one. My sole focus the next couple of months or so is solely on the business, really. So attracting clients and making some adverts. But I also want to kind of let people know, because I've seen that this is something that is starting to creep in to the industry. People want to have a version of their live performance filmed, for example, or you might want to have someone come into your rehearsal room to create a trailer in preparation for your performance, especially if it's something that's part of an Arts Council application. That is something that I can do on starting to offer. So yeah, if that is something that you've gone, that sounds interesting, then please head over to my website, which is www.lukethornalleyproductions.com, and you'll find my email there, or just look me up on my socials and all the links to all that is there. And hopefully there might also be some theatre by the time we get back for the next series as well. So that marks the end of this series of the Talking Theatre podcast. And again, a massive thank you to all of our guests for taking the time to speak with us over the course of the last series. It was a pleasure speaking to you all, and hope that you all enjoyed coming on. We also hope that you at home have also enjoyed these episodes that we have been making this series and the guests that we have been chatting to. And if you have, then be sure to rate us and subscribe to us and all the usual places that we're on in terms of podcasts. And please tell your friends about us. Tell your friends about the community that we are trying to build here. And the more theatre lovers we can reach, the better, really.
Yeah. And you can follow what we're currently doing on Twitter and Instagram at the Talking Theatre Podcast. And this is also where you'll be able to see adverts for some of the upcoming work being produced by young and emerging companies across the UK. And of course, if you're interested in coming on for an episode and talking about theatre with us, then you can either email us at thetalkingtheatrepodcast@gmail.com and we'll reply as soon as we can, or you can head over to the link tree in our bio and proceed to fill in the information form.
Exactly. So all that's left to say is thank you for listening, and we hope to see you in the near future. Goodbye.
Goodbye.